Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. For 35 years, New Life has been transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello, everybody, and happy Friday. We made it through the first week of the year of 2023. Isn't that amazing? And I am so glad to be joined by Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jackie Mac-Harris. Hello.
Hello. What a pleasure to be sitting with you two gals.
Yes.
It's wonderful to start the day with just a good thought in mind. How do we make a difference in our lives? And a lot of times we focus on negative things. You know, I'm doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. I'm getting down into the weeds of trying to break a bad habit. But have you ever thought about perhaps you need to start a good habit? Maybe that's the way we have to do it. And, you know, there's a saying that says nothing changes when you keep doing the same thing. And, you know, so I wonder what some good habit making would look like in your life. And it doesn't even, you know, we talk about, I don't know if you guys have heard this before. It's a very common saying that 21 days makes or breaks a habit. Mm-hmm. There's been studies to refute that. And, you know, and what I would say is just make a good habit. But, you know, Jackie, Alice, what are your thoughts about making a good habit?
I love that because, yes, nothing changes if nothing changes. Mm-hmm. And making a small change, it's easier. It's less overwhelming to think about, I'm going to give up sugar, right? But if I decide I want to eat healthier, maybe I can add more, I'm going to have a salad every day. And I started that last year that I just wanted to make sure that at least one of my meals every day was a salad so that I was eating fresh, green, leafy, raw vegetables. Mm-hmm. And now that's just a normal part of my grocery shopping. It's a normal part of my life. If I haven't had one by dinner, then I'm like, okay, well, I'm craving a salad. So I didn't give up sugar, but I added more vegetables. So I think you choose. You have to make a choice and make a choice for the positive because it's like positive reinforcement. Negative reinforcement, punishment, I don't know that it works as well as the attaboys when you do something really well. So
I like that. Alice, how about you? What good habits would you or have you done?
Well, I was driving to a destination, and when I got there, I said to myself, I hit red lights the whole way. That always happens to me. But I stopped for a second and thought, wait, was that accurate? So as I continued to drive at other occasions, I thought, I'm going to start counting the green lights that I hit. And I hit more green lights than red lights. But because we all notice the negative and we complain and we perseverate on it, that tends to take over the majority of our perspective. And so counting the green lights in our life and actively practicing gratitude, both for our little improvements, incremental improvements we're making, but also the good things that happen to us, it increases our energy, our motivation, and gratitude increases our happiness. And all of that helps us better pursue our goals.
You know, another thing about setting good habits is sometimes visual markers, kind of like along the lines of what you were saying, Jackie, is I want to have salad for at least one of my meals. Sometimes we need visual markers. So maybe your family has a jar, or maybe you, it doesn't have to be a family, and you place a penny in there every time you express gratitude or every time you remember to do the good habit. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how that adds up, and that visual response also helps us continue in that good habit. The other thing about good habits is sometimes we got to plan them out because you're not going to think of them in the moment. So whether it's like Jackie said, you're having a salad for lunch, or maybe it's I'm going to use my blinker every time I'm supposed to. And, you know, just make the decision ahead of time. Something that simple can lead to so many good things in your life. Listen, if you need a good habit would be to call us, 1-800-229-3000, or check out one of our workshops. We want you to know, we have a tip sheet that you can call and get it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 13 keys to reaching your goals. We want to help you have those good habits. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. In case you missed what I was saying, we do have a tip sheet, 13 keys to reaching your goals, and we're going to send it your way if you want to give us a call and let us know. Right now, we're going to go to the calls, and we're going to talk to Theophilus, who's calling us from Landover, Maryland, listens on WAVA. Hello, Theophilus. How can we help you today?
Good afternoon. Praise the Lord and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
Yes.
How can we help you?
Yes. Yes. I've been going on 43 years, and it's very, the environment is very toxic, and there's mental and emotional verbal abuse toward me, and I really want to save my marriage, but it looks like everything is going south.
How can we help you today?
What's your question for us, Theophilus?
When your spouse is determined that from your personal observation, that they're full-blown narcissistic. So what do you do in that case?
Your spouse thinks that you're a narcissist?
She is full-blown narcissistic.
Okay. And her abusive behavior, has that always been present through the history of your relationship?
Yes, ma'am.
Is there substance use as well?
I made up in my mind that since I had entered into a covenant before, with her, made vows that I was going to stick it out. And that's why we've been together 43 years, 43 years.
Do you have children together?
No, ma'am. We have it's a blended family. And even my daughter, my oldest daughter in the blended family, she's not my biological daughter, but she's been given a fatal diagnosis, 6 months to live.
So there's children in the family, but she had children of, or how many children did she have when you all got married?
She had two. And I've been really the only male in their, really in their, and especially my oldest daughter's life.
And Theophilus, in your attempts to address the abuse and her treatment of you, have you two ever gone to therapy? If you did, how did it go?
Yes, we went to therapy, but the therapist that we went to, he flipped his script, and because she's very manipulative, and made it all about me, but I decided, I'd say about 15, 20 years ago, to stop trying to change my wife, and I asked God to change me, and I got in the trenches and rolled up my sleeves and began to deal with the past trauma in my life.
And how was the trauma playing out in your marriage on your part? What were the behaviors that you worked so hard to change?
Just being, when we came together, I really don't want to get into, the you know, this is you steer it up, and it begin to stink. And I really didn't want to steer up a whole lot of paths, because I have forgiven. You know, I have forgiven, and I've even defenses that were that I endured or exposed to during our relationship, during our marriage, and I have forgiven. You know, so I just leave it in faith.
So Theophilus, I think what happens though when we just say I forgive, and then you're calling about, you know, ending a marriage. There's a lot of work in between. If the last therapist that you saw was 15 years ago and you've been putting up with, you know, this disconnection.
No. The last therapist I seen that we saw was about, I said about two, three years ago. We went, but we only did one session.
Okay.
And then we went again about a year ago, and we did only one session.
Same therapist? Both times? Was it the same therapist?
Different therapist.
So is that...
No, it was different.
Is
and
that
I
when
went
you...
About 3 months ago to a therapist. I went personally myself.
Great. Well, but see, what's I know where you're going with this, Jackie. It's that hit or miss... And there's not this consistent plan. But Jackie, what can Theophilus do in this situation?
Well, Theophilus, it's tough. I understand the saying, right? You stir it up and then it starts to stink. It's hard to be able to know what is needing to be stirred up, right? We don't have that information. So is there a question about like whether or not you should be staying with her? Or what you want to do about it? Because if it's about,
well, I know God hates divorce. So I mean, the situation as it is, I can't go into 2023 as it has been. It's just like y'all were talking about new habits establishing. It has to be new.
Okay, that's you hit on something. New habits. It has to be new. What can you do differently in the relationship in 2023 so that it shifts things, right? If anything in the system changes, it impacts the entire system.
It's not going to shift because she doesn't see a need to resolve within herself. She doesn't see a need or want
Theophilus, there are some things you could do to help her to see the need better. You're right to forgive. We're called to forgive over and over and over again. Yeah. But we make a mistake when we forgive and try to forget. And I hear you attempting to do that. And you've had to do it to survive, I think, because the hurts, the injuries from her come so frequently. But if you have not helped her to see her need by enforcing some consequences for her mistreatment of you, it actually enables the mistreatment to continue. I'm curious if you have ever chosen to separate from her abusive behavior and even taking...
I did that once, and I came back. So, you know, I should have stayed a little longer, but...
Why did you come back?
To affect some positive change. I came back because she pleaded with me to come back and this and that. And then I guess, you know, the comforts of the normal living and the comforts and what have you, I just compromised and came back.
So, Theophilus, that's very important information. Your absence affected her. Your absence helped her become more aware of her need. I need Theophilus. I want him with me. And she pleaded for you to come back. She's also been willing to attend therapy at different points in your relationship. But
no, she's not. She's not. Okay. But,
So, Theophilus, I want you to consider combining the two before you give up on the marriage. And by that, I mean alerting her that I'm feeling like I'm at the end of my rope here with this marriage. I feel really beaten down by what we all have gone through.
Right.
We've tried therapy before, and I want us to try again. And if you're willing to, we might have a chance at this marriage. But if you're not willing to attend therapy and you continue to mistreat me, then I'm going to have to protect myself by stepping away. And I might even have to separate from you again if you won't get the help that we need.
I have a question. I have a question, Theophilus.
She said something to me. That was the last straw. But go ahead. You go ahead.
That's what I want to know.
Take anymore.
I want to know what she would say if she was on the phone with us today. That she would say, you know what the problem is with Theophilus. What would she say?
No, she said to me, because it's all in the abuse, she said to me, you need to stand up and be a man or a woman, whatever you are. And that was it. That was when she...
Theophilus.
Trying to castrate me. That was it.
Theophilus, what did she mean when she said you need to stand up and be a man? What was she referring to?
When we got married in 79... I was spoiled by my mother. I was promiscuous. I was although the Lord had saved me, but I had been spoiled by my mother, promiscuous, in the fast lane for years. But anyhow, and so. Really, when God began to work with me and to develop me and mature me and from a childlike attitude to thinking like a man, she really couldn't handle that.
So you're saying that when you stopped like being like the hood dude, the street dude, that she didn't see you in the same way anymore? When you started to like settle into church and following God, and
she said she wanted him, right? She said she wanted a man, but when God actually, Paul said, when I was a child, I understood and conducted myself, but when I became a man, I put away. She was asking for something that she really didn't want.
Well, I wonder if what she was asking for and what you were talking about are two different things. Mm-hmm. How would she define you being a man? Like, what is she, when she says you need to stand up and be a man or a woman, whatever you are, she's conveying the way that she sees you and what she would rather have. Has she ever described, like, what, can you paint a picture? What does being a man look like for you? What are the things she is asking for from you specifically? Do you know?
She wants someone that she can dominate, control.
So what is the thing she tries to tell you to do? What kinds of things is she trying to, does she tell you when to get up, where to go, what kind of job you should do, what to wear, what you can eat, what you can't eat?
All the above.
Don't want to do something she suggests you do, then what happens?
Right. Then it hits the fan.
So she gets upset because you say, no, I don't want to eat that. I'm going to just make me a sandwich. So she throws a fit.
Well, see, you're using a common analogy, but it's more.
Well, I'm using the common analogy because you didn't want to stir up the pot and give us the details. So I'm making it up on my own.
Listen, wait, you can hear the music, Theophilus, so hold on just a second. We're going to go to a break. You know, relationships are complex, and the way that we communicate are complex. And sometimes what we hear is not really what's being said, and vice versa. Sometimes we're saying what the other person isn't hearing right. And so, you know, trying to get on the same page is the work that we have. And I know it's been a long journey, Theopolis. I hope when we return after the break, we'll give you a couple of steps that you can take forward. Like you said, maybe this new year will be the new year in a redemptive year for your relationship. We hope so. We'll be right back after this break.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We've been talking to Theopolis, who's got a long and struggling marriage. And Jackie and Alice, why don't you give them some pointers as we move forward in this?
I would just say, Theopolis, just remember that there are multiple perspectives happening here. And your perspective is different than her perspective because you all are coming from different vantage points, as I said earlier. So maybe ask her to be more descriptive about what it is she is asking for, because I wonder if you've heard her over the years. It's sometimes tough to make out what a person is saying because we're not them. And maybe having her give you a little, paint a better picture of what it is she's asking for from you.
Great, Jackie. Alice?
Theophilus, your wife may experience you as passive and avoidant in that strong desire you have to forgive and move on. And she may be asking for some more strength and assertiveness from you and more truth-telling. And that might be the stand up and be a man that she is describing. So I want you to prayerfully consider if you would work on your assertiveness and your ability to speak the truth to her in love.
I love that. And I think, Alice, you had a book suggestion for Theophilus.
Well, every man's marriage, Theophilus, really helps husbands to understand working to consider their wife and to take her desires into consideration while also holding to what you will and won't do. But it may help with that aspect of how much she asks of you and how you should respond in a biblical and kind way.
I love that. And we'll be praying for that, Theopolis, and we'll get you connected with a counselor if you want. We're so glad that you called. And now we're going to go and speak with Barbara, who's calling us from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listens on WFIL. Hello, Barbara. We're so glad you called. How can we help you today?
Thank you for taking my call. My question is, how can I better maybe explain to my husband and have a conversation about me feeling like he's objectifying me, if I'm using the correct term. I just started looking up that word recently, and I feel like I fall into that category somewhat in our relationship. And he is open to talking and to wanting to resolve the problem, but I don't feel like he's really hearing me, or he feels like those, you know, within our intimacy, those are the types of needs that he has that are different than my needs. And I just feel like he's really not understanding or hearing me.
Okay. Barbara, how long have you guys been married, and have you sought any help for this problem?
Quite a few years we've been married, and I did reach out to a counselor. I went one day, and the following session, he came with me, and of course, it was just, you know, getting to just share the situation, and then I had to go back to work full time, and so we dropped counseling. She wasn't available the time that we were available. So, you know, we've been trying to resolve this between us two, and it's not really working. But at the moment, counseling is not an option. So I kind of want to maybe get some ideas or some help. How can I maybe, you know, share this with him where he might just be able to just grasp it a little bit better?
Okay, well, let's start with you, Alice. I think you got some thoughts going through your mind right now.
Barbara, would you give us an example of how it feels like he's objectifying you?
Okay. And again, like I said, I'm kind of just like diagnosing this now with that word. And I'm trying to keep this rated G because it's a program, but things that are coming into our physical relationship that I really am not into, using other things, if you know what I mean.
So he makes requests of you in your intimacy, your physical intimacy, that you don't want to engage in.
Exactly, exactly. Some of it includes, like I said, different objects, pictures, videos.
I think you give us a picture of what's happening. When you decline, how does he treat your no?
Better now than several years ago.
And do you notice he have a history with pornography use?
No, not that I know of.
And have you asked?
Yes, and the answer is no.
Okay. And you have reason to believe his answer? Because he's a trustworthy man.
I don't... that I know of, yes.
Okay. Okay. So one of the best techniques for helping spouses to really hear each other rather than going into defensiveness and minimization and justification is the Comfort Circle, which is in Mylan and Kay's book, How We Love. Their book both shows us what our styles are, and maybe your style might be a more avoidant style, that it's hard to have these conversations. He might also be avoidant. It's hard for him to receive these kind of conversations. But when we invite our spouse into the structured conversation of active listening, it slows the conversation down and increases our capacity to hear each other on difficult topics. And I'd go ahead, Becky.
Well, you can hear the music, and Alice, you want to recommend that book, but we're going to go back. We're going to talk to you some more, Barbara, after the break. Jackie's got some wisdom that she'll share with you as well. And I think you're on the right track there, Alice. It's so hard for marriages to connect. That's what we're hearing. And yet there is a path and a process, and we can help you with that. We're going to go to a break, and we're going to take care of this after the break.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery prayer devotional, the New Life journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Today is the last day to save $120 on your Emotional Freedom Workshop registration. Emotional Freedom will be January 21st. It's an online workshop where we have teaching. Jackie McHarris is going to present, as well as Steve and Chris. And then we're going to have breakout groups with our New Life counselors. I just want to put a plug in there because today's the last day. You could save a lot of money, and it could be the beginning of the best year yet. So we want you to come. You can call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Right now, we are talking to Barbara, and Alice, you were giving her some instruction, and I cut you off because of the music. But I want you to continue, and then we're going to hear from Jackie.
Well, Barbara, when we want our spouse to hear us well, it works best to offer to be their listener first. And so if, as you get the How We Love book from us and you introduce your husband to the Comfort Circle, offer first to be his listener on a subject that's distressing to him, and then request that he do the same for you.
Great. We'll send that to you. Jackie, what would you like to offer her?
I would say when you sit with that idea of asking him to share something that's concerning him first, that you go into it understanding that your body might respond to it, and you might want to push back a little and ask questions. But there's a script in that book, How We Love, the Comfort Circle script, and try to stay focused on what's happening for him, because you're modeling for him what you need from him. And your question was, how do we resolve the problem? And the resolution is to keep discussing it and to keep being respectful and loving towards each other. It sounds like you all have good communication. This is a difference of styles or desires or interest that you all are currently talking out, and that is wonderful. So the Comfort Circle, I believe, is going to be the greatest tool. I think the last question on the Comfort Circle asked, what do you need? Mm-hmm. And so be honest about what you need, but then he's going to be honest about his response. And so the response has to be something you can actually do. So maybe you need something from him he's not able to give, or maybe he asks you for something you're not able to give. And then it's about acceptance of our partner's request and limitation, and to take that in as their truth. And sometimes we have to grieve that we're not getting what it is we wanted. And so he may have to grieve that you're not into some of the things that he is into. But be careful that we're not creating a sense of shame around mm-hmm. the sexual intimacy between the two of you. You said you have no reason to believe that there's any infidelity or that he's acting out sexually in any way. So hold that when you're having these conversations, so that we're not saying things that are shaming or accusing. As you were looking up the word objectification, right, that he's objectifying you, maybe share that I feel objectified, rather than stating that his motivation is to objectify mm-hmm, you. Mm-hmm. I know in couples therapy, I get that pushback all the time. Don't tell me what my motivation is. So come from a space of what you are feeling.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, Barbara, I know you said therapy is not an option, but I'm going to beg to differ. And we're going to connect you with somebody in your area. And maybe it's a telehealth, because you're learning a new way to communicate. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we need a translator. And I know with couples work, that's what we do a lot of times, is we help the couples hear each other. And we want to encourage you also, maybe join us at the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop as well.
Becky,
go ahead.
I want to tell folks, don't let the expense of therapy be a complete deterrent. A lot of therapists are willing to offer a sliding scale fee where they'll compromise with you on the payments and consider the cost you're paying by not being in therapy, because sometimes that's a much higher price.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. Thank you for calling, Barbara, and I hope we helped you today. We're going to go talk with Lisa, who's calling us from Columbus, Georgia, and she listens on the podcast, and you can too. You can download us wherever you get your podcasts. We have an app as well, and we're just grateful that you are listening there. Lisa, how can we help you today?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Thank you for the wonderful work you do for our for serving our community. A lot of good information, and I definitely benefit from it greatly. Today I'm actually calling because I want to know at what point do you decide to separate yourself from your adult child? My our daughter is 34 years old. She's adopted. She's had a history of when we stay out of her life but find it necessary at points to share what we think about certain aspects because we feel like it's dangerous for her or her child, then she cuts us off completely. I mean, completely. Most recently, she's cut us off just before Christmas. We haven't spoken to her. She doesn't take calls, et cetera, et cetera. And my husband is at a point where he is feeling like, you know, in order to preserve ourselves, we have to cut her off.
Lisa, is she involved in risky behavior, substance use, illegal behavior?
So she has openly said to us most recently that she does marijuana and she doesn't think that there's anything wrong with it. But I will tell you that, as I said, she's adopted. She came in contact with the bio dad about 2 years ago, and a year ago with a supposedly bio brother. and he came to stay with her. It was supposed to be 2 months to get him on his feet. He's been there over a year, and it's hard for her to get him out. We don't know why, but all he does is smoke marijuana pretty much most of the day. Now, recently, we became very, very concerned because we love our grandson. We're very, very involved in his life, and suddenly she told us that he's going to be spending more time with his father instead of her. When my husband asked her, was it because the fact that she's hitting hard times financially? And she said yes. And so that really was crushing to us because basically she's lost a child, you know, full time to her father. And we fought like hell at the very beginning of the baby's life to keep this child healthy and to help her with him because she was just coming out of a very abusive relationship with that father. Mm-hmm. Now, he has turned his life around. He's a very different man. He's married and have children of his own, and he loves the child. And actually, to be honest with you, we think that it's a very, very different and healthy situation for him to be in versus home. However, it means that we have to go through him in order to see him. And so it's uncomfortable for us. And we know that our daughter is going down the wrong road because of her pattern of behavior. And when we told her that, my husband became very, very irate, and he left the room.
Lisa, it is such a sad story when our adult kids, no matter, you know, adopted or otherwise, when there's a division and dissension. Jackie, let's start with you on this one, and we'll get direction for Lisa.
So, Lisa, you said that she hasn't spoken to you, so the how do you cut off question's already been answered. She answered it for you. You just stop responding. You block. You don't engage. But you're asking that question, but the things you're saying sound as though you don't actually want to cut off the relationship. You want to stop the pain, but you would have to do that by letting her be who she is. And then the other thing that came up for me, you were talking about the son. Living with his biological father sounds like what's best for him, but inconvenient for you. And so I think you're going to have to learn to live with that inconvenience because it's not about you, it's about him. And if the father has turned his life around, he has a family, he's rearing his children well, it's a safe space, and your daughter is well enough to be able to say, I can't do this right now, he needs to be with his father more often, she's doing the best thing she can for her child right now in the state that she's in. And so if she's asked for space because whatever it was in that last conversation was hurtful to her, you've already done the cutoff.
Alice, how about you?
Well, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Oh. She actually talked to me one day afterwards. It was actually her father because my husband has felt like she never really wanted to take responsibility. And he says, I'm out. I'm done. I'm out of it.
And when you say take responsibility, do you mean take direction?
Sorry.
Here's the thing. I have adult children, too. And it's tough parenting grown-ups. It doesn't get easier because they're older.
Yeah, well, because you don't parent them anymore. It's right. Managing that relationship.
It's managing, exactly, Becky. You're managing an adult relationship. She doesn't need you all to rear her. She's already been reared. And it is hard to watch them stumble and fail. But that is a part of her personal growth, her direction. Just like her baby's father got his life together. She'll need some room to get her life together.
Yeah. Well, you can hear the music. Lisa, we'll be back after the break. And, you know, it is hard to manage them. You're not parenting anymore. I'm grateful that your grandson is in a safe place. That's huge. That's usually one of the challenges of trying to make sure that the kids are taken care of in the midst of these challenging relationships. But there's hope, and I think we can get you on a better track. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're talking with Lisa, who's got a little bit of a challenge, a big challenge, I mean, granted. But Jackie and Alice, let's give her some direction moving forward on this.
Lisa, I'll caution you that I rarely advise parents to totally disconnect from their children because, in part, our kids still need our godly influence in their lives, but we may have to pull back and limit our exposure to them if their behavior is destructive and hurtful to us. But when a child cuts off communication, it's always necessary to look at, as a mom, what was my part that led up to my child not talking to me anymore? Because it's that biblical principle of the beam in my own eye versus the speck in her eye. There's certainly things wrong with how your daughter is behaving. And we moms know we're imperfect too. So even in my best attempts to mother, I still have hurt my children sometimes. And so the willingness to look at what have been my imperfections, and when you get the chance to ask your daughter, how have my shortcomings affected you? I actually want to hear from you about this. And in the meantime, keep in mind, Lisa, that as she's been adopted, despite all the love she received from you, adopted children often struggle with attachment. And so there's a push and pull that they engage in because it can be frightening to attach and remain attached when they have lost their biological parents. Even if it was as an infant, we still often see that play out.
And I think sometimes adoptive parents struggle to attach as well. And there's that qualifier that they're adopted, and therefore it's not the same bloodline, but environmentally, she's your kid. She's lived in your family. She's been reared by you, and your traditions and your behaviors and attitudes are the things that have shaped her. And I would just say, as Alice said, we don't want to cut our children off, but we also have to give them room, give them space. And if you can own the parts of the relationship that were hard for her, that were your responsibility, it's invalidate her experience in that, even if you disagree with it, it makes that easier for the adult child to then come back around to see your side. Mm-hmm. You can't lead with, well, but I had to. They need you to be able to say, you know, I'm really sorry that I was emotionally unavailable for you and you had a need that I didn't meet. That must have been awful for you. I hate that for you. And then they can usually come back around with an understanding for you.
Yeah, Lisa, we're going to send you a copy of Dr. Jim Burns' book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children, and I think that'll be helpful for you, and we'll be praying for that situation. And I just said one more thing about that is, remember, that grandson looks at you as grandma and grandpa, and you still have influence in that family, so I want to encourage you to stay connected. Larry, you are connected with us, and you're connected with all of our donors, and I'm so glad you're here. What do you have to say today?
What I want to say is toxic tribal affiliation. If you wonder what that is and you're a Club New Life member, you can join a Zoom gathering we're going to have on September the 12th. If you're not a Club New Life member, there's still time to join. It's a monthly giving, $35 a month or more. You'll get a special gift to say thank you. But these Zoom gatherings we're going to do once a month. And Steve's going to talk this first month of the year doing this. On toxic tribal affiliation. It's got my curiosity up. Mm-hmm. And I know Steve, he's a thinker. And I love what he presents. Uh-huh. It'll make you think. Also, just want to encourage giving real quickly, kind of an edited down testimony. This lady writes, a couple years ago I made a plan to end my life. But I was able to receive therapy that surely saved my life. The Ministry of New Life Live continues to help me keep close to God's Word and His intention for my life. And that's what we do, folks, and that's why we seek your support. Club New Life is one way, just sending a gift, calling and making a gift online, on the phone, that's whatever. We need your support, and we just thank you for it. Maybe you can get a call in, Becky, so I'll get out of here.
I think I can, and I'm so grateful for our donors. I appreciate our partners in ministry, and it's making a difference. We're going to talk with Mary. Hi, Mary. I'm so glad you called. She's calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Listens on our app, and you can too. You can download it. But Mary, we only have a few minutes left, but we wanted to get to your call. How can we help you today?
Hi. I'm calling on behalf of my daughter, who is going through a rough time right now, where her husband asked for a partial separation because he had given her an ultimatum right maybe 2 months ago, told her that he needed her to get a job by January 1st because he wants to move in to like a mother-daughter house with his mom, but they can't afford it unless she has a job as well. And she did not get a job by January 1st. So now he's moved out into a home with a friend Monday through Friday. And he's going to come home on Saturday and Sunday to spend time with their two children. And I don't know if they're going to still go to church together. He didn't go to church with her on Sunday, but I just don't, I don't think that that's normal. I don't, I think okay, that's well, very odd that...
You might be right. You might be right, Mary. I think because we only have a couple minutes left. Alice and Jackie, can you help Mary help her family?
Mary, it does seem like an extreme reaction to his request, but I'd have your daughter consider if over the years of their marriage, if he has needed more help, more participation from her in various areas of life. And so it may be possible that this feels like the last straw to him, that he cannot get her on board to participate. Otherwise, this is pretty confusing. So when something seems hysterical in the present, it seems like an exaggerated response. Usually in the history, there's an accumulation that has led to this exaggerated response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I call it stacking dynamite. Over the years, things have happened, and it's just stacked up and stacked up and stacked up. And if they've struggled financially, or he has dreams that he can't achieve because they're a one working person family, and he's asking for more support, which maybe she's not able to, or that's not where she's headed. She's not thinking about getting a job. He may feel that she's not respecting him. She's not meeting his needs. She's not caring for him in that way. But I think the question is it normal for them to have this type of separation? And normal is relative. Mm-hmm. I've heard people say so many times, this isn't a real marriage. This isn't a normal marriage. If you have the certificate and you said the I do's, it's a marriage. And what it looks like and how you navigate it, it's going to be different in every situation and in every family. He sounds like what he has done is he has separated and he's coming home so that he can still have his time with the kids. And if they divorce, then he would probably, that it would probably be that setup where he would see the children on the weekends. He set a boundary and it wasn't met, and he is executing the consequences.
Right. You know, Mary, what I would suggest, and hold on and we'll get you connected, she needs to be with a counselor. They need to be with a counselor to navigate this, because this may have blindsided her, but she's going to have a plan and a strategy. There are kids involved, and and like they both just said, this is not new. This has been building up. And so obviously she's going to need help. And if you're calling us, that tells me that you're concerned because she's not seeking help too. So, you know, just hold on and we'll get you connected with somebody that can help you or help her with this. You know, I think we've said this a number of times today, marriage is tough. There's a language to be learned in each and every marriage. Our intimacy and marriage workshop can help couples how we love. The book is a great, we'll send that to Mary. You can hand that off to your daughter. And you know, but we're here to help you because we know that there is hope and there's a way forward. And we love hearing those after stories when people have figured out how to manage those differences. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Alice, for your wisdom.
Thank you, Jackie.
I'm just so grateful for both of you. And I hope that this first Friday of the year is the best one for each of you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. Make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.